What's up, fellas? It's Bush here. We have tons of tools to get you ready to smoke your buffoon league mates in our redraft rankings manifesto. Whether you're looking for our consensus tiered-based rankings, top 200s, and by position, fantasy football news blurbs to keep you informed and find this year's Puka Nacua, risk ratings so you know how risky the draft picks you're spending are, the truth series so you can see how their 2023 season went, or you can compare our rankings to Sleeper, to ESPN, to Underdog, to Yahoo, to NFL, whichever platform you're drafting on, we have you covered this year with our Redraft Rankings Manifesto. Right now, you can get our draft guide for free by signing up on Underdog Fantasy using just $10 and using code FSE. If you already have an Underdog account or you can't play where you live, you can also head to flockfantasy.com. Use the code FSE for a 7-day free trial, 30% off any of the packages, and all of that is linked in the description of all of our videos if you need the links for that. All right, let's roll the pod. July 18th, 2024. Write it down because this video will be one of the most impactful ones that you've watched all offseason. And I know that sounds like a clickbait hook off the top, but trust me, you will understand by the time we get to the end of this. This video is about league-winning quarterbacks. It's about finding the next league-winning quarterback, but it is so much deeper than that. The way that I'm approaching the quarterback position this year could be the skeleton key that unlocks all of your home league championships and potentially the big tournaments over on Underdog Fantasy. This video will be your one-stop shop for quarterback strategy and basically how to interact the quarterback position into the rest of your fantasy rosters. I am so excited to get into this one. Leave me a like down below if you get some value at any point. Comment down below any of your thoughts and subscribe to the channel because I promise you we got a lot more heat where this one came from. All right, so the structure of the video will be like this. First, we're going to define the factors that it took to be a 20-plus PPR point per game quarterback. There have been 60 of them in the last 9 years or so. 2013 was the time that I went back to, and I've done this for 4 years now, so I'm really going to skim through the process part of this. But if you guys are new, we're going to look at the volume-based factors that it took those quarterbacks to become a 20-point-per-game starter, or basically a guy that you just set and forget, threw into your lineup, and he was a big-time performer for you. Gave you those spike weeks that you wanted and gave you the consistency that you wanted. So we look at things like how many pass attempts per game were they throwing? How many touchdowns per game were they throwing? How many rush attempts did they have? How many rushing touchdowns did they have? And then we also look at situational factors like their offensive output, their offensive line play, the talent around the quarterback, what receivers are they throwing to, what tight ends and running backs are they throwing to, tendencies for the quarterback, like how often they throw in the red zone, how often they push the ball downfield and throw it 20 plus yards. Next, we look at who did it last year. There was four of them last year that did it and kind of how they got there in addition to those overall 60 that we kind of culminated into here. So then we're going to break down this year's crop of quarterbacks, and that's really where the skeleton key that I talked about at the beginning of this video is going to click on, where the light bulb is going to click on, just how potentially this could change fantasy drafts and how you approach them this year. So let's start with the volume-based factors of the 60 quarterbacks who have finished with at least 20-plus PPR points per game since 2013 and qualified they had to play 12 games in the regular season. Tons of elite quarterback seasons that I'm sure you guys all remember: 2013 Peyton Manning, 2018 Patrick Mahomes, 2020 Kyler Murray, 2021 Tom Brady, so on and so forth. I'm sure you guys probably had a lot of these quarterbacks on your fantasy rosters. The long and short of it is this, because I said I'm kind of going to skim through this part because this is now year four of me doing this video series. On average, they needed to throw the ball about 35 times per game. They needed to throw about 2 touchdowns per game, on average about a 35 passing touchdown season over a full year, and then 5 rush attempts per game, or about 4.5 rushing touchdowns per season there. So those were the averages from a volume perspective. Obviously, it benefits us to have a dual threat quarterback who can do it with their arm as well as with their legs. Some of these quarterbacks were better than others. Some of them were pure pocket passers who had great seasons. Some of them were rushing quarterbacks who obviously just paced those averages easily as a runner. And then some of them had a good combination of both. So, but volume isn't everything, right? We know that sometimes you can be a low volume passer, for example, and still get there because you're Lamar Jackson and you're you're an excellent runner and you're also in a great offense, a great scheme, you have weapons around you and all that good stuff. So there were 60 players. I went through all of their situational factors. I'm not going to show it all because I don't want to keep you guys too long here, but the averages of those 60 quarterbacks since 2013 who have been 20 plus PPR points per game scorers was this. On average, they were in a top 7 offense. On average, they had a top 12 offensive line rank in pass blocking according to PFF. Obviously important to have good offensive line play. Deep ball attempts per game. They were pushing the ball downfield 4.5 times per game. On average, that's about a top 6 rate in the NFL. Rank in quarterback rating 7. So again, obviously they're just a very talented quarterback, a very efficient quarterback. Red zone combined attempts, rushing and passing, because we don't want to discriminate against those runners in the red zone. And if anything, those are worth more in the red zone than pass attempts are. 6.29, that was about a top 8 rate over the last 2 years. So you needed to be throwing slash running in the red zone or a combination of both. We also looked at average draft position in fantasy football drafts coming into the season. On average, they were drafted as a top 8, top 7 quarterback in ADP, which is important to know for us in fantasy drafts going forward. And then rank in neutral script pace of play. So basically, how quickly are they running their offense? Is there up-tempo? Is there no huddle and all that kind of stuff? That proved to be a predictive. Top 12 pace of play is what we're looking for. And then pass offense DVOA is basically a way of measuring their supporting cast. How good were their receivers? How good were their tight ends? All that kind of stuff. On average, you needed a top 7 pass offense DVOA. So that's basically what made up the situational factors. And in 2023, we only had 4 of these guys, which is the lowest total that we've had since 2014. So we're looking at a historically down year for quarterback, the one that we're coming off of right now. And I think that's due in large part because of the amount of injuries we had. Of course, guys like Joe Burrow and Kirk Cousins and Deshaun Watson. A lot of guys dealt with a lot of injuries. Justin Herbert, Anthony Richardson. We could have had way more this year is my point, basically. We just had a lot of bad injuries, a lot of unlucky breaks. Everybody knew that. Basically, if they watch the 2023 NFL season. But the 4 guys that did end up finishing as league-winning quarterbacks, Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts, specifically those two, because they were over 23 points per game, let alone just 20, and then Lamar Jackson and Dak Prescott. Obviously, these guys all got there in a different way. Josh Allen, runner and passer. Jalen Hurts, primarily a runner. Lamar Jackson, primarily a runner. And then Dak Prescott obviously gets there via his arm as a passer. So again, rushing quarterbacks, passing quarterbacks, it doesn't matter. If you have a way of getting there, you're capable of finishing as one of these guys. Of course, 1 of 3 passes, the way that it's going to come from. It's going to come from a premier passer like Mahomes, like Burrow, like CJ Stroud, like one of these guys, or it's going to come from a premier Konami code rusher like Jalen Hurts, Anthony Richardson, Lamar Jackson, Jaden Daniels, somebody like that, or some combination of the two. A guy like Josh Allen can do both. A guy like Kyler Murray can do both. A guy like Deshaun Watson, when he's right, can do both. That is kind of the combination that we're looking for. So let's get into the top 24 mainly, but 32 quarterbacks in ADP on Underdog right now. We're going to look through and kind of stack these guys up based on the volume averages and the situational averages to determine how many of these boxes are these guys checking. Because if they check a lot of these boxes, and even if they exceed some of these boxes, we're going to feel really, really good about their fantasy point per game projection. So let's start 8 quarterbacks at a time. We're going to go quarterbacks 1 through 8. In fantasy football ADP right now, you see Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Anthony Richardson, CJ Stroud, Kyler Murray, and Joe Burrow is the way they're going off currently on Underdog as I'm recording this on July 18th. Underdog ADP is the sharpest ADP we've ever had. In 2024 drafts, we are going into it with more information than we had back in 2014. We did not have sites like Underdog that had paid drafts going from January all the way through to September 1st, telling us who we should be drafting in fantasy drafts, reacting to news in real time with inputs. And of course, if you guys are new around here and you want to access awesome data like this and our rankings and our draft guide is free to people who sign up on Underdog Fantasy using the promo code FSE or the link in the description and the pinned comment with just $10. So if you sign up on Underdog, you get a lot of practice for your home league drafts and you'll get our draft guide for free. And of course, if you already have an Underdog account, you can get it on flockfantasy.com, promo code FSE as well. So let's go through each of these quarterbacks. Number one, we have Josh Allen. He is the QB1 in ADP right now. Going through his kind of checklist, because that's what we're doing here, he projects really, really well. As we know, as we've already known, Josh Allen is an elite fantasy quarterback. Not quite as elite in the offensive production this year as opposed to other years, because he doesn't have Stephon Diggs, doesn't have Gabe Davis anymore. There's some ambiguity in the wide receiver core with Keon Coleman, Curtis Samuel, Khalil Shakir, Dalton Kincaid, James Cook. I think we all believe this is going to be a good offense still, but it wouldn't shock me if they're not quite as good as they've been in the prime Stephon Diggs, Josh Allen years. but he is still an outstanding pick. One of the safest picks in all fantasy football drafts, because not only is Josh Allen a dual threat, because he can do it with his legs and with his arm, he just owns all of his team's production. The running backs in the red zone don't run the ball very much. He's the guy who punches in the touchdowns. They had 15 of them last year. He's the guy that throws the ball. He's the guy that creates the big plays. If the Bills score points, if there's a 28-point performance by the Buffalo Bills, there's a very good chance that all four of the touchdowns came from Josh Allen, whether it was his legs or his arm. That is the type of quarterback you're getting. Jalen Hurts is the quarterback 2 in ADP right now. I actually have him ranked above Josh Allen this year. And the reason for that is due in part because I said some of the ambiguity at wide receiver for Josh Allen, but also due to the fact that new offensive coordinator in Philadelphia, Kellen Moore, has been a top 5 team in pace of play. He has been a top 5 team in pass rate over expected everywhere he's been as an offensive coordinator. So for me, I look at Jalen Hurts this year with AJ Brown, with Devontae Smith, with Dallas Goedert, Saquon Barkley now in the backfield. This offense could go nuclear, and Jalen Hurts might have a higher passing ceiling than he has ever had before. We know what he can do with his legs. He's like a perennial 10-plus rushing touchdown guy, especially with the tush push and the way that they do it there. Jalen Hurts, to me, is the best quarterback in fantasy this year, has the highest ceiling of any quarterback in fantasy, because if he does have a 37-touchdown season as a passer, if he does have 600-plus pass attempts, and he's never been close to those numbers, 21st and 23rd, respectively, in pass attempts the last two seasons that he's been an elite fantasy quarterback, he has a higher ceiling than he's ever had. So for me, Jalen Hurts, if you're going elite quarterback, is the premier target to go after in drafts right now. Lamar Jackson, I have more concerns for Lamar than I think a lot of people do. We know that Lamar has the potential to outperform everything just simply because he's that good of a runner, and rushing points are worth more than passing points in fantasy anyway. But he's in a low-paced offense that doesn't really throw the ball a whole lot. This year's offensive line losses are the thing that I'm really concerned about. They lost a lot of pieces on their offensive line. It's ranked right now as a bottom 10 unit going into the season by Pro Football Focus. And with Derrick Henry coming in, he's going to soak up a lot of red zone work. We know what he does on the goal line. And if you add in the fact that Lamar Jackson already is less consistent week to week than Jalen Hurts and Josh Allen and some of these guys, plus we know he's been banged up more than these guys as well, that kind of makes me a little bit nervous of spending a super, super high pick on Lamar Jackson when the wide receivers, the running backs, and the tight ends in that area, to me, are better bets knowing the 2v2 that I can get. If I don't take Lamar Jackson in round 4 and instead I take Amari Cooper or I take George Pickens or I take T. Higgins or something, I can probably get a solid quarterback in round 10 that's not going to compare nearly to the wide receiver talent that I'm going to get in round 10 if I take Lamar Jackson in round 4. So that's my kind of stance on Lamar this year. Patrick Mahomes, absolutely nails, man. Nothing is wrong with his case, in my opinion. There's not a hole I can poke in Patrick Mahomes. And to me, he is very close with Josh Allen for QB2 this year. Elite player, elite play calling, always at the top of the NFL. The Kansas City Chiefs are in pass rate, in pace of play. It's a great offensive environment. Patrick Mahomes has not stretched the ball deep since Tyreek Hill left. He now has the fastest player in combine history and Hollywood Brown, who's a 4.3 runner as well, in addition to Rashee Rice going into year 2, assuming he's not suspended for very long, and then Travis Kelce, hopefully healthy this year. This is the highest Mahomes' ceiling has ever been, and you're getting him at a nice discount this year because he had a down season with no wide receivers to speak of in 2023. So for me, Mahomes, one of my premier early round quarterback targets, especially anytime he's in the round 4, round 5 range on Underdog. Home league, so probably go a little bit higher than that, but I still feel very, very confident in Patrick Mahomes this year. Anthony Richardson, his ability as a passer is a major question mark. So that's why I feel a little bit concerned about him. But Shane Steichen is a great play caller. We saw what he did for Jalen Hurts a couple years ago. His scheme gives me a lot of faith. I like the weapons. I like Pittman, Downs, A.D. Mitchell, and all these guys. Of course, Jonathan Taylor there as well. This is an up-tempo, fast pace of play offense, which is great news for the fantasy production. Number 3 ranked offensive line in PFF's offensive line rankings right now. Good play calling, like I said, with Shane Steichen. And most importantly, rushing quarterbacks can overcome, you know, subpar passing. And even if Anthony Richardson throws 22 touchdowns this year and 3,600 yards, which I would consider half decent for a second-year quarterback who didn't really play that much as a rookie, the guy literally might rush for 900 yards and 10 touchdowns. So it's not going to matter all that much. So that's my stance on Anthony Richardson, is that I feel he's risky, but at the same time, he's also safe because he has a high floor as a runner. CJ Stroud, the quarterback 6 in ADP right now, No rushing ceiling. Obviously, we kind of know that about CJ Stroud, but he projects really well. We know he's super talented. We saw what he did as a rookie quarterback. He has great weapons. Nico Collins, Tank Dell, Stephon Diggs, Dalton Schultz, Joe Mixon, great weapons. But I do have a couple concerns for CJ Stroud, which is why that if I'm going to go for a high passing ceiling quarterback in the early rounds, I'm going to take Mahomes over CJ Stroud, even if I have to pay a little bit up for it. Because with CJ Stroud, the protection is not great. They rank outside the top 20 per PFF in offensive line ranking. So the offensive line could have some issues, especially if Laremy Tunsil deals with injuries. Number two, the San Francisco 49ers-like scheme that they run with Bobby Slowick there is not a fast pace of play offense, and it's not a pass-heavy offense. So to me, I look at CJ Stroud as expensive but better quarterback version of Brock Purdy, where you're getting better passing weapons, you're getting a running game that's obviously worse than what San Francisco has with Christian McCaffrey, but if they pass at a below average rate, they run a low pace of play offense, you're going to just need CJ Stroud to be efficient, and I think he will be. It seems outlandish for me to say that they're not going to pass the ball with a quarterback as good as CJ Stroud, but Green Bay doesn't pass the ball with Jordan Love and Aaron Rodgers the last couple of years. Brock Purdy's a great quarterback. They never pass the ball. Miami with Tua Tagovailoa should pass the ball probably more than they're doing. All of these schemes originate from Kyle Shanahan, and they don't like to pass the ball a ton. They would rather be efficient when they're passing and have a balanced attack. So for me, CJ Stroud, they also traded and signed an extension for Joe Mixon, which indicates to me that they're unhappy with how their run game performed last year. Even though Damian Pierce is still there, I think that this run game is going to get more run than maybe they should. If I was in charge of the Houston Texans, I would throw the ball 700 times this season, but I don't think that's what they're going to do. I think they're going to have a balanced approach, and that presents some risk for CJ Stroud from a spike week and an overall consistency basis. Next, QB7, we have Kyler Murray. God, I love Kyler Murray this year. He is one of those guys that I just know I'm going to have a crap ton of exposure to because he's a history of elite quarterback play. That's a good start. He's been a two-time league winner. So of the 60 quarterbacks, he's been on this list twice because he is a dual threat guy who can beat you with his arm and with his legs. And this year, he projects as good as he ever has. Since 2021, when he had DeAndre Hopkins in his prime and he had Cliff Kingsbury running these pass-heavy up-tempo offenses, this year, you got Marvin Harrison Jr., you have Trey McBride, you have a good run game, maybe Michael Wilson, some of the other guys can take a step up. This offense is going to pass at about a league average rate, going to be about league average or better in pace of play as well. The only way this fails, in my opinion, for Kyler Murray is that he's not as good of a player as we once thought he was, or he doesn't run as much because since that ACL tear, he's just not quite right. And to me, second year coming off of the ACL tear, I thought he looked better as much as he played last year as the season went along. The more he played, the better and more comfortable he looked. And like I said, you guys know I am very, very excited about Marvin Harrison Jr., and I'm also quite excited about the rest of the offense as well. So for me, Kyler Murray, one of my premier targets in drafts this year. Joe Burrow, also a big time target for me. Among the league leaders in pass rate in Cincinnati, elite top two wide receiver weapons who are both motivated to play well this year because they're both looking for contract extensions. Jamar Chase and T. Higgins playing on the franchise tag. Some interesting depth too. I mean, they add Jermaine Burton. They have Andre Yoshivosh. They add Mike Gesicki at tight end. They actually are a little bit deeper on offense, I think, than they've usually been. And the run game may not be as effective as it was in the red zone, particularly with Joe Mixon. And that might cause Joe Burrow, A, to either rush more touchdowns in, or B, to be pass heavy in the red zone. And that's going to be good news for him regardless. So for the love of God, just stay healthy. Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, all of you guys, if you can stay healthy, we're going to be rocking and rolling there. So let's move into quarterbacks 9 through 16 in ADP. And as you guys can see, these guys project quite well too. Dak Prescott, quarterback 9, Jordan Love, quarterback 10, Jaden Daniels, Brock Purdy, Caleb Williams, Trevor Lawrence, Tua Tagovailoa, and Jared Goff. With Dak, you have an offensive environment that we all want pieces of, right? For a great real-life passer like Dak is, tempo, volume, pass attempts, pace of play, lack of a real run game with Ezekiel Elliott and Rico Dowdle, maybe the red zone work comes down a little bit because Dak actually led the NFL in red zone attempts total because he was throwing the ball like crazy down there. And with Ezekiel Elliott back, maybe they just run the ball in the red zone more. But man, Dak is both really safe and really high ceilinged because only way he fails, in my opinion, is if defenses can rein in CeeDee Lamb and or CeeDee Lamb gets injured and this offensive talent falls off a cliff. Because if Lamb is not out there, if he's not playing at a high level, or if the defense is taking him away, Dak Prescott doesn't have a whole lot else to work with. Jake Ferguson, Brandon Cooks, Jalen Tolbert, maybe they can contribute, but I don't imagine they'll be very, very good surrounding cast around CeeDee Lamb. So for me, I look at Dak Prescott, and yeah, I'm ranking him a little bit conservatively with how the Cowboys have been, but I do expect maybe there's some kind of step back from this offense. But regardless, I still think that Dak Prescott is a great value at quarterback 9 outside of the top 6-7 rounds where you have to take him right now. Jordan Love, I think, is such a great pick as well. He has the opposite problem to Dak Prescott, where his offense is not top heavy. It is very deep. And we don't exactly know which Green Bay wide receivers are going to be good or if any of them are going to be good. But I feel pretty confident that they raise the floor as well as his ceiling if a bunch of them are really good players. He has good play calling, good protection. He also was a first-year starter last year and ranked second in the NFL in passing touchdowns and had a lot of situational question marks entering the year last year too. And he almost was a league-winning quarterback himself as a first-year starter. He was 19.5 PPR points per game. So he almost already did this. We're projecting something. He needs 0.5 more PPR points per game to be better than he was last year, and he was already almost there with Christian Watson banged up, with Jaden Reed as a rookie, with Dontavian Wicks as a rookie, with Tucker Kraft and Luke Musgrave banged up. If he gets these guys all taking steps forward, he could be absolutely outstanding this year. The only concern I have for him really is pass volume, because they signed Josh Jacobs, they draft Marshawn Lloyd. It's pretty clear that they want to run the ball, but I still really like Jordan Love this year, as do I like Jaden Daniels, who has a lot of situational question marks. I mean, you look at him and you go O-line, play calling, offensive point production, maybe those are concerns for him. But again, rushing quarterbacks can overcome a lot. And even if Cliff Kingsbury's a bad play caller, even if the offense is only like 17th in points per game this year, he's going to have passing weapons. Terry McLaurin, Dotson, Luke McCaffrey, those type of guys. They can put up points. Ben Sinnott at tight end, who they drafted. Cliff Kingsbury offenses were elite in pace of play with Kyler Murray. They were always at the top of the NFL. They're going to run a lot of plays on offense. That's the way that Cliff likes to run. And if he is a talented thrower, Jaden Daniels, then look out, because he might be the biggest league winner of all of fantasy football. Because if he comes in and he plays like he did his final year at LSU in the NFL, in addition to running as well as he does, he is going to break fantasy football and potentially be the next Lamar Jackson, the next maybe Anthony Richardson had he stayed healthy, or the next whatever rushing quarterback was drafted outside the top 10 that goes and just has a monster QB1 overall season. Brock Purdy, volume is not his friend. Similar to Jordan Love, he's going to crush efficiency-wise. He has a great cast of weapons, the best in the league. I do think there's some upside, potentially, for San Francisco to let him throw more, because people forget. They want to ridicule Brock Purdy all they want. The guy's like 23 years old, and he was in his second season last year, and he took his team to the Super Bowl. So in year three, it's possible that Kyle Shanahan lets him throw the ball a little bit more. And when I say a little bit more, they were dead last in pass attempts last year. They blew the doors off of so many teams that they didn't have to throw the ball, despite being 21st in pass rate over expected in neutral game scripts. So if they just have more neutral game scripts, Brock Purdy's allowed to throw the ball a little bit more. Suddenly we're talking about a league average volume situation for Brock Purdy, and he has a higher ceiling than people think. So I really do like him. I don't want to discount him just because of the low volume, but yeah, he's a solid option as well. Caleb Williams, I think, is a risky acquisition in this range, knowing of how much praise I've just given on everybody else, but he does have a super, super high ceiling, because he has Keenan Allen, Romo Odunze, and DJ Moore and Cole Kmet in a good run game. And the O-line's good. The ability that he has as the first pick in the NFL draft, I watched his tape in college. I know how good this guy is. And also an underrated ability to run the ball himself. He could punch in 5 touchdowns this year and rush for 400 yards. Like, he has that ability as a runner. The question I do have about Caleb Williams, which makes him risky, is the play calling. Shane Waldron's offenses have been good for pace of play and volume, but they haven't been the most efficient. And that scares me a little bit for a rookie quarterback. If they're not giving him layups and it caused Geno Smith to struggle without Dave Canales there in Seattle last year, then what is it going to do for a rookie? Is it going to put him in a bind? Is it going to make him not play at the level that we want to see him? Shane Waldron is the main concern there for me in Chicago, but I still feel good that Caleb Williams has a super high ceiling if he can hit. Trevor Lawrence, the bounce back is coming for me. He is one of the biggest bounce back candidates in all of fantasy. This offense has all of the volume that Trevor Lawrence could ever ask for. He has such a good projection this year. He runs, he passes in the red zone. He runs the ball more than people think, pushes the ball downfield. He's a deep thrower, especially when you add in Brian Thomas Jr. and Gabriel Davis to this offense, who both project as very good downfield options. Trevor Lawrence just has to play better and has to stay healthy, because he was good before he got injured last year. And he also was dealing with some shuffling on the offensive line, which hopefully would help him as well. So he could crush. He could absolutely eviscerate his ADP this year. He was a top 8 player quarterback in ADP last year, and nothing has changed to me. It's like the difference is Calvin Ridley is gone, and Brian Thomas Jr. and Gabriel Davis, who are both better deep threats than Calvin Ridley anyway, are in. That's the only difference. And actually, too, he had a rookie left tackle last year, a rookie right tackle in Antoine Harrison, and now he's going into his second season. So you could definitely make the argument, now that he's been paid, the team obviously showed a lot of faith in him, that he projects just as good as he did last year. So for me, Trevor Lawrence is one of the better values as well. Tua Tagovailoa, just like Brock Purdy, but with a bit more volume, slightly less rushing, of course, than Purdy. Tua is pretty much a zero in that area, but he throws the ball a little bit more deep down the field. Of course, he's got Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. Why wouldn't he? Tua is surprisingly really undervalued. He was QB 10 in ADP last year, and he was very solid, and he's somehow gone down a lot in ADP. So I really do like Tua Tagovailoa, especially on underdog. Very efficient passer, great weapons, pushes the ball downfield. Been a spike week guy too, especially in best ball. Only issues for me are really that they run the ball a lot in the red zone, so you're losing a little bit of that red zone passing for Tua Tagovailoa, and the fact that he's completely a zero as a runner, and they don't really run very up-tempo on that offense, but still a very good pick. Jared Goff and Tua are basically the exact same. Yeah, the team's going to run in the red zone, but it's great play calling, great weapons, and very solid volume. So Jared Goff, also one of those guys that I feel like is a good late-round quarterback target. So now let's get into QB 17 through 24, and I'll go a little bit faster here. Justin Herbert, Kirk Cousins, Matthew Stafford, and Aaron Rodgers are QB 17 through 20. Excellent projections already so far to this point in this video. If you guys are taking away anything so far, it's that I've been playing fantasy a long time and doing this specific exercise for 4 years. This is the deepest quarterback has ever been. That is the what I teased at the beginning of the video is this is the deepest quarterback has ever been. The late round quarterback is back this year. Justin Herbert, yeah, volume won't be great, but if he's an elite NFL passer like we know he is, with some rushing upside, a great offensive line, and maybe these young wide receivers around him can take a step up, what if Jim Harbaugh doesn't have him throwing the 32nd most pass attempts in the league, like he's being drafted as right now? Because I agree that he's probably likely going to lose a lot of volume from the year previous, but we are drafting Justin Herbert at his absolute floor right now. We are drafting him as if the Chargers will throw 475 pass attempts, which they might, but if they don't, if they're a league average passing attack in terms of overall volume, then Justin Herbert is going to crush his ADP. So he's another guy that I think is a good ceiling swing. Kirk Cousins, Matthew Stafford, and Aaron Rodgers are all very similar, so I can group them all together. We don't expect anything as runners from any of these guys. They're older quarterbacks. Two of them are coming off of Achilles tears. But all three of them, Cousins, Stafford, and Rodgers, pass-heavy offenses, high pace of play, good weapons around them. Like, I mean, you got Kirk Cousins has Drake London, Kyle Pitts, Bijan Robinson. Matthew Stafford has Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp, and the two running backs. Aaron Rodgers has Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson, and some ancillary pieces. Kirk Cousins, to me, has the highest floor of these guys because I feel confident in the offense's ability to take a step forward. He also has the best offensive line of the three of these guys. Aaron Rodgers probably is a safe combination of floor and ceiling, and then I think Stafford's ceiling is the highest of these, because if Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp are two of the best receivers in the league, which they very well could be this year, then Matthew Stafford's going to throw 40 touchdowns, and that's where the ceiling comes from for him. So with all three of these guys, if you miss out on quarterback early, these are solid consolation prizes that could give you every week starter appeal that nobody's really talking about. And at QB 21, we have Deshaun Watson, and he might be washed. He might be bad. Like, he has not been good since he's been a Cleveland Brown, but what if he isn't? He has weapons, play calling, protection, maybe more volume and pace with Nick Chubb on the mend. We saw this offense open up with Joe Flacco. If Deshaun Watson plays like Deshaun Watson of old, or anything close to Deshaun Watson of old, we're talking about a guy who, like Kyler Murray, has been on this list multiple times, a multi-time league-winning 20-plus point-per-game scorer who has dual-threat upside, who can run in the red zone, who can throw the ball at a high level, 30-plus touchdown ceiling, 4,500 passing yard ceiling, and add 100 rush attempts and 7 rushing touchdowns. That is capable still for Deshaun Watson. I know he hasn't been good lately, but at the price you're getting him at, the market is assuming he won't be good again. So he was actually solid from like a point per game perspective when he was on the field last year, and that was with him playing bad. So if he plays well, look out, man, because he could be a huge league winner himself. Next, we get into the final quarterbacks of this range, Geno Smith, Baker Mayfield, and Will Levis. Quarterback does start to taper off here, but even with those guys, I can paint a rosy picture that they're good, at least best ball picks or good super flex picks, because Geno's got weapons. He's got a new scheme that is looking to push the ball downfield. Baker Mayfield has weapons. He has some security, some confidence, and some continuity in this offense, which have been key for him in his career because he's never had that. And both of his best two running backs, Bucky Irving and Rashad White, are better receivers than they are ball carriers. So this offense could really look to throw the ball a ton. And then Will Levis, same thing. The volume of that Titans offense is going to go up this year in a big way, because that new scheme with Brian Callahan coming in, who let Jake Browning throw the ball at a top five rate last year when Burrow was out. And Will Levis led the NFL in deep attempts per game. So if they throw the ball a lot, and Levis is the type of quarterback that he is, and he pushes the ball downfield to DeAndre Hopkins, his new weapons, Calvin Ridley, has more offensive line protection from the draft, he has a chance to really be good. Both of his running backs are capable receivers as well, with Spears and Pollard. If one of these guys is your QB1, Geno, Baker, or Will Levis, you probably need to swing again in a home league, where if you draft Geno Smith, swing on one of these next guys like Drake May or something to give you some upside. I would say you'd probably want to have your QB1 locked down before this range, but in best ball and in super flex leagues, I really like them. And then I'll just skim through these last couple guys: Drake May, Bryce Young, Daniel Jones, Derek Carr, Bo Nix, JJ McCarthy, Russell Wilson, and Justin Fields. With the three rookies, May, Nix, and McCarthy, if you squint, these guys could be league winners. I mean, Drake May doesn't have weapons or protection right now, but if he's this year's CJ Stroud, as the rising tide that raises all ships comes in and makes Jalen Polk and Javon Baker and Demario Douglas and all these guys play at a high level, he can run, man. He had 800 yards his sophomore year, so he could be a very, very good value in drafts from a best ball and a super flex standpoint. In home leagues, I'd probably just wait for him to pop up on the waiver wire, because we're not even sure when he's going to start games. But Drake May is still a very good option. Bo Nix, full disclosure, doesn't probably have a super high ceiling, but he could be like Geno Smith in 2022, where he's efficient, in a good offense, in a good scheme with Sean Payton calling the plays. Weapons are a little bit suspect, but I have some confidence that Bo Nix has the ability to translate quickly. And then JJ McCarthy, whenever he starts games, he's going to be really good, because he has volume, he has pace of play, he has weapons, he has protection, he has play calling, all nails. Like, if he's a good quarterback, he's absolutely going to crush his ADP. It's really, when does he take over the job? We don't know when Sam Darnold's not going to be starting games, and same goes for Drake May. We don't know when Jacoby Brissett's not going to be starting games. If both of these guys were week one starters, like JJ McCarthy and Drake May, I would put them ahead of Geno Smith and Baker Mayfield and Will Levis, because the upside, I believe, is that high, because they can both run a little bit. They both have big arms. They're both capable of moving the ball downfield. Drake May has more rushing upside, but worse weapons. JJ McCarthy, worried more about his talent, but he does have better weapons around him. Justin Fields, I mean, I wouldn't worry about him. If he starts for the Steelers, he's going to be fantasy relevant, but he's probably not going to start for the Steelers. And then, you know, Daniel Jones, Bryce Young, Derek Carr, Russell Wilson, those guys, I just don't think the ceiling is high enough for those quarterbacks, so I probably would avoid those players. So I teased it at the beginning of the video, and apologies for making you wait like 30 minutes before I actually got to the point of what I was talking about. But my plan at quarterback in drafts, and why I think this video is extremely, extremely valuable if you guys have made it this far, and if you have, comment down below. This is how these guys graded out. As you can see, what I do every single year, I've been doing this for 4 years now, is you give these guys a weighted point scoring system where you get 5 points if you scored anything green, meaning you exceeded expectations in some of these areas, yellow for any thing that you met expectations for, orange, you were kind of close where maybe it could go either way, and then red means that you're probably going to miss the mark in those areas. The takeaway is this: this is a very, very good year for quarterbacks. This is the deepest I've ever seen it for quarterbacks, and I'll be dropping the 2024 edition of the highest viewed video in YouTube fantasy football advice history, which was last year's 2023, the number one draft strategy video. When I drop that for 2024, which I'll be dropping on August 10th, like I did last year, spoiler alert, quarterback should be the last position you address in your fantasy drafts, because given the elite tight ends this year, and I'll get to that when we talk about the tight end league winners, the wide receiver thirst, where all the wide receivers are going way higher than they used to, and of course, people still want their running backs in fantasy football, this year is the year that you fade quarterback. This year is the year that you go with late round quarterback, because for me, plan A, and most of the time what I'm doing in fantasy drafts on Underdog right now, I've drafted like 75 teams, is target this pocket of Kyler Murray, who's the current quarterback 8 or quarterback 7 in ADP right now, all the way to Deshaun Watson, who's quarterback 21 in ADP, get two of those guys in best ball and in super flex leagues alike, but also just in home leagues, grab one of those guys or maybe two of them if you're in a very QB heavy room, because where you're at, by taking Jordan Love in round 9 of your fantasy drafts, you're passing on subpar wide receiver, running back, and tight end projections more so than any other year. The quarterbacks in that area of the draft project so much better than the other position groups. So for me, late round quarterback is all the way the fuck back this year. It is the best strategy in all formats for the quarterback position. In home leagues, again, this allows you to take those wide receivers where you need to take them to get your guys, to get the studs, especially on Underdog where they're going so, so high, get them early. Running backs, again, take a hero RB approach, take one good option and then punt it a little bit, grab some late round guys, tight end, grab yourself an elite anchor, stack up at those positions and avoid quarterback early on. Because as much as I love Jalen Hurts this year, as much as I love Joe Burrow and Kyler Murray and these guys this year, CJ Stroud, Anthony Richardson this year, man, I feel really good about Tua as well. I feel really good about Trevor Lawrence as well. I feel really good about Dak Prescott, Jordan Love, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Jared Goff. All of these guys have very, very safe floor projections as well as pretty solid ceilings. So if you want to get risky and take Jaden Daniels in the 10th round of your home league, just pair him with Geno Smith later and you're going to be ready to rock and roll come week one. This strategy really, really does apply to best ball as well. If you guys are drafting two QB builds where you pair up Dak Prescott and Deshaun Watson and you're done at quarterback, you have a great combination of ceiling, floor, solid projection, and you don't need to grab a third quarterback. You don't need to grab Jalen Hurts or Josh Allen in round three or round four and miss out on those great running back and wide receiver and tight end projections, because you can get Dak Prescott in round eight or round nine, or you can get Deshaun Watson in round 13. Like, this year, the quarterback honeypot is as good as I've ever seen it, and it's perfect for best ball. It's perfect for two quarterback leagues. It's perfect for the late round one quarterback strategy, as you guys probably know at this point. I think it is 100% optimal this year to fade quarterback and draft Tua when you draft Tyreek Hill, or draft Jared Goff when you draft Amon-Ra St. Brown, or grab Brock Purdy when you have Brandon Ayuk. Like, you're going to be just fine at the position. You are going to be just fine. You have a real legitimate chance of a 20-point per game ceiling out of any one of those quarterbacks going in that range. And you also didn't have to spend elite capital to get it. So as much as Anthony Richardson having a 23-point per game season would separate him from the field at quarterback, if Brock Purdy, who was a 10th round pick, has 21 points per game, it's not going to make a huge difference, because the 2v2 that you're getting of whoever you took where Anthony Richardson goes in round five and whoever they took in round 10 where Brock Purdy goes is going to make it a huge, huge advantage to go late round quarterback this year. And if you guys don't believe me, 2023's charts and 2022's charts are on the screen right now. Look at how much more orange and red are on there from the quarterback 7 through the quarterback 21 than there is this year. That is what I'm talking about. That range is so much better this year than it has been in years past. In 2020 and in 2021, we had 10 quarterbacks each year finish as 20 plus point per game scorers, and that was a QB renaissance for us. I believe the same thing is going to happen this year. We're going to have a huge different combination of different guys getting there. The rushing guys, Jaden Daniels, Lamar, Jalen Hurts, they'll get there. The passing guys who are going later, Purdy, Tua Tagovailoa, Jared Goff, Dak Prescott, Jordan Love, we'll have a couple of those guys get there. And then, of course, we'll probably have one or two of the elite guys really separate themselves. But for me, the opportunity cost is such that I will take the punt on the later guys as opposed to taking the early ones. So I know this was valuable. I'm telling you right now, this might have been the skeleton key to unlocking your fantasy football draft strategy this year to win your home league, or potentially to win Best Ball Mania 5 and take home $1.5 million in first place. If you want more valuable content to crush your league mates in 2024, you'll want our draft guide. It's linked down below. You can get it for free when you sign up on Underdog Fantasy with just $10. You can also get it on flockfantasy.com if you already have an Underdog account, or if you're in a place where you can't play on Underdog. So if you do sign up on Underdog, use it to get better at fantasy football. Use it to get practice for your home leagues. It's like going into a school fight in high school by sparring with Muhammad Ali. You're going to be overprepared. The guys that are drafting on Underdog are sharps. You're going to understand where the players are supposed to be going, how the value is supposed to shake out. And when you get to your home league drafts, you're going to be laughing at the dumbass picks that your league mates make. If you've got 20 Underdog drafts under your belt or 30 Underdog drafts under your belt, you can do cash games for $3. You can do Best Ball Mania drafts. You can do high stakes stuff. All of it is super fun and super valuable to get yourself ready for your home league drafts, which is probably why you clicked on this video in the first place. Again, rankings, bonus content, draft guides, all available on flockfantasy.com. If you can't play Underdog where you live, promo code FSE for 30% off, 7 days for free, and a free team review if you sign up annually. And when you sign up annually, you get 6 months for free, and that'll cover you all the way through the dynasty season, through the redraft season, through the in-season content this year. Best value over there on the internet. Check that out, link down below in the description. But with that being said, peace out. We'll talk to you soon.